Hey everyone, and welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. And most importantly, happy Easter. He is risen. That's what we're gathered here to celebrate. You know, we are getting ready not just to have a standalone Easter message, but the kickoff to a brand new sermon series. And I'm so glad that you've decided to join us for it. Because if I mention the word forecast, most of you will probably pull out an app on your phone and check the local weather, or maybe more importantly, the weather around Wrigley Field to know whether a Cubs game is officially going to happen. But what if the forecast wasn't related to the weather, but was actually related to you and I and the future? Let's hear more about that in particular with our senior pastor, Jeff Griffin.
Happy Easter, my friends, and welcome to the Compass Church. I'm very mindful that every Easter we have lots of new guests, and so welcome. So glad you're here. Thank you for celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ with us. I'm thinking of everybody at the South Naperville campus. Welcome. Everybody at the Three Rivers campus, Bolingbrook, Hinsdale, Naperville, Wheaton, my friends at the Sheridan Prison, and everybody online, I'm so glad to be with you. I love Easter. It's like the Super Bowl for our church. It is the biggest attendance weekend every year. And, you know, really, it's not just us. Think about it. The whole world this weekend, billions of believers are packing churches everywhere to celebrate Easter. Did you ever ask, why is Easter such a big deal? I mean, you may say, I know it's the resurrection of Christ. That's good for him. Good for you, Jesus. What about me? Well, why is it good for us that he resurrected? There's actually a number of reasons. I'll give you a few. One of them is that this is the recovery of our best friend. For many of us, Jesus Christ is the love of our lives. We adore him, and he's alive and well and in our lives. Another reason Easter's so big is that the resurrection is a proof. It's evidence that Christ is who he said he was. You know, Jesus made some bold claims about being God in human flesh, here to save the world eternally. And it would sound like the ravings of a lunatic if he didn't prove he is just that by conquering death. Friends, a third reason we get so excited about Easter is that the resurrection of Jesus is a forecast of what's to come for us. No kidding. In our future, we too will rise from the dead. Let me show you. It says in Romans 8:11, just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will raise us as well. It's like God's showing, yeah, I can do this. It's what I do, and I'll do it for you. Turns out that the Bible promises there is a day. You talk about a day. In our future, there is the great day of resurrection where God will raise every believer up out of the grave. Friends, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, decomposed at that time or if you were cremated. The Lord worked with dust when he first made humanity, and he will gather the elements that once were us and reform them into new bodies. I don't know how much you think about our future bodily resurrection, but I think about it a lot. In fact, I think about it on this path. We happen to be in a forest preserve that's right by my house, and almost every day I walk our dog on this path. It's a great chance to reflect on life, and you know, the trees kind of give me a reminder of the stages of life. I look at the trees and I'll see little baby infant trees, and then I'll see childhood, you know, when it's starting to get bigger, and then adulthood when it's big and strong. But I also see a lot of death. Fallen trees are everywhere and very visible at this time of year. And it's kind of a painful reminder that all living things die, that I'm gonna go this path as well. And I could get depressed thinking about that. And so I remind myself on this walk that my story does not end in death, that God will resurrect my body miraculously to life again. and not just resurrect me to this body, that'd be rather depressing. He promises a new and improved human body. No kidding, let me show you this. It's found in Philippians 3:21. Christ will transform our weak mortal bodies into glorious bodies like his own. Friends, we will be new and improved. Can you wait? Friends, it's like these dead trees. Imagine if one of these dead trees fell into the hands of the master carpenter. Hey friends, is this awesome or what? Welcome everybody to Homewood Bat Company, Chicagoland's own manufacturer of professional grade baseball bats. Homewood is a suburb on the south side of Chicago, and they make bats for over 150 professional baseball players, including Chris Bryant, Nick Madrigal. This particular bat has been made specifically to meet the needs of Patrick Wisdom. Who knows what these bats have in store for them? They will be in the hands of the greatest, maybe used to break an all-time baseball record. Some of them could end up in display in Cooperstown in the Hall of Fame. And this is our story, friends. Do you realize we're like that dead tree that will end up in the hands of the great carpenter, God himself, and he will make us beautiful, strong, useful, and destined for glory. Friends, I am so excited to dive in and study with you. This Easter, we're studying that day when God resurrects the saints. My friends at the Homewood Bat Company gave me my own personalized baseball bat with Wheaton College, my alma mater, right on there. Is that nice or what? You know, when you look at a finished baseball bat, it's so different from being a tree. You can hardly, you know, realize that it was once a tree, but it was. Friends, if the tree is the first life, and then the second life is this baseball bat, I think you'd agree with me that the first life and the second life are very, very different. And what about ours? You know, when we look at this life compared to the afterlife after death, is it similar or is it different? You know, this is a really important question because many people are not excited about the afterlife because they imagine it to be so wildly different. It's interesting. Notions of the afterlife, even in Hinduism and Buddhism, they talk about reincarnation, where there'll be another life, but this time you're in an animal. If that were true, with my luck, I'd be a platypus. But what about Christians, too? You know, we got this image of wearing a toga, playing a harp, bouncing on clouds. Man, would that be different from what we experience here. Some Christians believe that we become angels, not in the Bible. Others would say, no, you're a ghost, you know, floating around the earth, haunting those loved ones. No. Sometimes the heavens are portrayed as an unending church service. Now, nobody loves a church service as much as I, and yet that sounds horrible. What is the next life like? Have you ever thought that Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is a great way by which we can get a glimpse into what the next life will be like? The resurrection existence of Jesus, as described in the Bible, helps us understand a bit more about what ours is going to be like. First of all, we see with the resurrection that Jesus had a human body. No platypus, no angel, no ghost, a human body. And friends, when we realize that we too will be resurrected, it tells us that our final eternal state will be in a human body. Now, will we look the same? Did Jesus look the same? It's interesting. When looking at the Gospels, there is clearly a recognition of him as Christ, and yet he's different enough that sometimes he's not immediately recognized by even his disciples. I imagine that he's been perfected, even in appearance, that his attractiveness is at an all-time high. And so it's him, but a way better version of him. What about being physical, you know, going through normal physical activity? Yes, it's so interesting. When you look at Matthew's account of the resurrected Christ, he describes in the cemetery where Mary sees the resurrected Christ, runs to him and embraces him. You can hug him. And Luke describes Jesus walking on the road to Emmaus, you may recall, with these two guys. He's walking and talking, very normal stuff. Eventually becomes the dinner guest of these guys. John, the Gospel of John, he writes that Jesus was on the beach by the Sea of Galilee, hanging out on the beach, that he made a fire, that he cooked breakfast for his disciples. When we look at the resurrected Christ interacting, it is surprisingly similar to our own life. There's no bouncing on clouds. Jesus didn't play the harp. It was tangible, similar to this life. Now, there were improvements in the resurrected Christ. I already mentioned his appearance, but we know that the resurrected body of Jesus was unaging. It didn't go through decay. The pains and aches and illnesses and even death were no longer a part of this new and improved body. We notice a couple things that he could do. Makes me wonder if we can do them in our resurrected body. For one, Jesus did teleportation. I'm going to use a Star Trek term there. He beamed, if you will, from one side of a locked door to the other side. He wanted to be with his disciples who were in this house, and he just kind of appeared there and freaked them out. These guys about jumped out of their skin. Is that an expression of Jesus' miraculous ability, or is that part of the capacity of our resurrected bodies that we'll enjoy? I don't know for sure. I like to think that we can do that in heaven. Also, flying. The grand finale of Christ's ministry here on earth is suddenly he leaves the earth, he ascends up into the clouds. Once again, is that a supernatural ability because he's God, or will we have that capacity in our resurrected body? Don't know for sure. Again, I like to think that I'll be flying, and so will you. Friends, it's different, but in some ways, so much the same. And interestingly, it's not only the bodies that will be different, improved, but similar. It's the environment that will be different, improved, but similar. Let me show you in Romans chapter 8, verse 20. I love this verse. It says, all creation was subjected to the curse. Friends, what does this mean? The curse is this consequence of human rebellion. When we turned our back on God and said, we don't need you, the Lord brought this broken state. You know, our bodies break down. There's disease, natural disaster. There are a lot of problems. Evil exists. It's all part of this broken state. Well, it says all creation was subjected to the curse, but with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. God's children, we enjoy the transformation into our new bodies that will be free of death and decay, but it's not just us. It says that all creation, the world, nature, longs to participate in their new existence. Isn't that fascinating? It turns out part of God's great renewal of all things is human bodies, but also our environment, the earth. The Garden of Eden was glorious. You know, when God started and he made everything, he didn't make it like this. We're looking at a world that's the result of two events. It's original creation and then the curse, the brokenness. Well, what we've got in the future is God restoring, taking that curse away, freeing creation from all of these laws that result in disintegration and difficulty. And it will be glorious. We'll see the beauty of God's intended environment for us. That's so interesting. We will live on a restored earth. I used to have this notion that the earth was just going to vaporize like the Death Star in Star Wars. Bye-bye, earth. And you know, in the clouds, heaven is some other faraway place. No, friends, the earth remains. It's restored. It's improved. And it's our home. You know, sometimes saying that heaven is our eternal home is not helpful because the term heaven brings to mind, again, clouds and some other place where the Bible teaches that this earth, this new and improved earth, is our eternal residence. Do you realize that? We will live for eternity on earth. Now, it's called the new earth because it will be different, new and improved. There's this great verse, actually, this phrase occurs three times. The phrase is the restoration of all things. It's an event that God's going to bring about. Part of it is us being restored to resurrection bodies, but part of it is the creation being restored, the restoration of all things. That phrase was used by Jesus in Matthew 19:28. In that passage, Jesus is describing the blessings that will come to all Christians who suffer loss in this life. You will be paid back and then some at the restoration of all things. Isn't that beautiful? And then Peter, when he was preaching in Acts 3, he talks about Christ will return and bring about the restoration of all things. And then again in Revelation 21, when John gets this vision of heaven, he sees Jesus welcoming everybody and saying, in a sense, now begins the restoration of all things. Can you imagine what it will be like to see God restore everything? You know, his creative power has already been evidenced in this world. One of the advantages I have received in getting to travel is seeing God making different ecosystems. You know, when all you know is the Midwest, which is great, by the way, but then you see for the first time the African safari that I went on. You're like, no way, God, I didn't know you could make this. Or you go to Hawaii and you see tropical paradise and you're like, no way. If the Lord can make different ecosystems, the Lord can't wait to show us a new one he's got coming called the new earth. It will be amazing. Friends, similar to this earth, there'll be animals. You know, one of the things people ask so often is, will there be animals in heaven? Well, the scriptures refer to horses in heaven, the wolf, the lamb, the leopard, the lion, the cow, the ox. Yes, animals will fill the glorious new creation that God's going to make. We see descriptions of natural beauty like trees and mountains and rivers characterizing the new earth. If these, you know, valleys and fjords and canyons are amazing, just imagine what the new and improved version will be like. Cities, you know, we love architecture. So does God. The new earth will be filled with cities at a whole nother level. It turns out that the similarities between that life and this one are seen in employment. You say, I don't want to work in heaven. I hope it's an endless retirement. No, you will be employed, but with a job you love that is who you are expressed in meaningful labor. There will be construction, architecture, design. You can imagine the houses that will be built in heaven. There will be music that some play and write. There will be farming and cooking and leading and learning. Oh, friends, heaven is going to be extraordinary. The restoration of all things. You know, that phrase, restoration of all things, makes me think of when a house is restored. Although, do you know, when a house is restored, the notion is there's something beautiful here that we don't want to lose. But restoration of the home always includes improvement, right? If you've got a historic home, you add electricity. That's a nice thing to have, isn't it? And you add plumbing with toilets, fantastic invention. You add air conditioning, these improvements. So like the restoration of a home. So heaven will be better, similar in the ways that are glorious, but improved in all the ways we would love, like the overthrow of evil. Bye-bye. Violence will be gone. Injustice, terrorism gone. Racism, abuse, oppression, hate to be no more. Friends, Christ will make it restored as it should be. I love that phrase, glorious freedom from death and decay. The Lord says, I love to make, but what you're seeing that I made now is broken. And God says, you wait. I'm going to fix it all, and you're going to love it. Friends, if this notion of the restoration of all things, this new life awaiting, really interests you, can I recommend a book? There's a book called All Things New by John Eldridge. I love it. So helpful as he explores biblical truth about the next life. But it's going to be incredible, friends. One day, you're going to wake up, and you're going to hear the sound of birds in the trees outside your heavenly home. You'll feel the warmth of the sun rays coming through the window. You'll suddenly realize that, man, I feel good. No more aches and pains. My whole body is just strong like it's never been before. And in this morning, you will not be bombarded by dreads and fears and problems, because the truth is that they're gone. And you will get up and stretch and get excited, because you know, again, it's going to be a wonderful day. Friends, this promise of incredible restoration of all things coming, this is the greatest promise the world has ever seen. No philosophy, no religion, no fairy tale or story has ever come close to a promise like God fixing it all. This promise is true. It's yours. Everything is going to be okay. The best is yet to come. And that's reason to get excited. Friends, as it turns out, this is not just an Easter celebration. This is actually week one of a 6-week series called Forecast. We are now entering into a study of what is to come. You know, a big part of the Christian journey is understanding where we're going. And on Easter here, we've been looking at the resurrection of our bodies, similar to Christ's own resurrection. But there's so much more. And in this series, we are going to look at 6 epic events that Scripture says they're coming. Forecast. And what is forecast? A weather forecast is just understanding what is to come. Sadly, our forecast presently is not real good. It's going to be cold and rainy. Sorry. But when we see forecasts saying that spring, warm sunshine's coming, it makes us excited today in anticipation of tomorrow. Do you know that? What we view about what's ahead has huge implications on our emotional state today. My son woke up this last week with excitement. Why? Because he's just started his spring break. It's so weird seeing Jake bound down the stairs in the morning. Normally, we got to drag him out of bed, you know, high schoolers. Well, why has he got this bounce in his step? Because he knows that soon is spring break. When soon is more school, he just doesn't have the same emotional experience. Our anticipation of tomorrow impacts our emotion today. And God knows that. And that's why he has told us where we're going and what's ahead. And so I can't wait to study with you these epic events in our near future, our series called Forecast. Well, next week, we're going to be looking at the second coming of Christ. Do you know about that? I can't wait to study it with you. It's like Arnold in Terminator. I'll be back. That's what Jesus said. He said, I'm coming back, and it'll be sooner than you think. So, can I encourage you, make sure you rejoin, because we're diving into our new series called Forecast. Let me pray for you. Lord, our joy could be more if we get excited about what is to come. and our distorted views of the next life are a problem. So would you fill our minds with truth? Lord, we thank you for this realization that we'll have bodies, physical, perfected bodies in heaven, and that the environment, the earth, the new earth, will be glorious. God, let our minds, our imaginations run wild with the biblical direction and help us get really jazzed to just live each day believing, God. Help us believe that the best is yet to come because we know it's so. Would you bring joy today in anticipation of tomorrow? God, bless this whole series. May it yield great fruit in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Before you head out, though, fill out an online connection card. You know, we love to celebrate a lot of things around Easter time, most importantly, the resurrection of Jesus. But we also want to celebrate you and the fact that you joined us. So if you want to know more about our church, or maybe even more importantly, if you want to fill in a prayer request that our staff will pray through for you in particular over the course of this coming week, go to thecompass.net/connection card and let us know. And if you're interested in partnering with us financially, spreading the hope of the gospel here, near, and far through our in-person and online ministries, you can do so at any point in time by going to thecompass.net/give. Thank you once again for joining us, and we're looking forward to continuing our sermon series Forecast with you the next time we're together here at the Compass Church Podcast.